If you're turning your Bibles to John 15, I want to say thank God for His goodness and His mercy.
Amen.
How He's turned things around for us and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
As we look in John 15, we're going to read a couple of verses here where the Bible says there in John chapter 15, if you'll look down at verse 7, we're going to start there. John chapter 15, we'll read that verse, then verse 15 and 16. It says in John chapter 15, verse 7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." We go down to verse 15 there, and it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." As we look in these verses tonight, in John chapter 15, this chapter deals with abiding in Christ and walking with the Lord. The key verse, if you look at verse 5, is the key verse of this chapter. And when I say a key verse, it's something really unlocks the whole theme of the chapter there. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Our lives before we got saved was one of nothing. And we wasn't doing anything without him. Since the day we got saved, every day we don't walk with him as a day of nothingness and not getting anything done.
Right.
But he said, though, in that verse, he said, "Ye are the branches." But watch this. "He that abideth in me, and I in him," he says there, "it says the same bringeth forth much fruit." And God's principle of bringing forth fruit is just like on a farm or anything. You sow what you reap what you sow. And no matter what you sow, you get to reap. And we see that in John chapter 15, he speaks of several of these things about that. And I want to ask you a couple of questions before we get started tonight. And this is just two serious questions. You don't have to answer out loud. Don't raise your hand or anything. But are you as close to the Lord as you want to be? I've never heard somebody honestly say, "Yeah, I'm as close to God. I've never been closer in my life, and I don't think I can get any closer." Never heard nobody say that. Nobody that knows the Lord anyway. I mean, you know, you may have somebody say that, but the answer to that question is this. You are as close to the Lord as you want to be. Let me quote this guy. We call him by another name. You know him as Rez, Dr. James Mills. People do what they want to do.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if he said that originally, but I'm giving him official credit right now. People do what they want to do. And when we look tonight at the second question I want to ask you is this. Is, do you want to be closer to the Lord? And I've never met somebody who loves on the Lord say, "Well, I think I'm as close as I can't stand no more. I'm standing some more. How about you?"
Amen.
They say sometimes you just get so close to the Lord you want to shout. I want to shout a little bit louder. Want to go a little bit further, pray a little bit longer, sing a little bit longer, preach a little bit longer. Because you can never be as close to the Lord as you want to be because your wanter's probably broke like mine. But listen, there's somebody that when you got saved, God put him inside you and sealed you into the day of redemption by him. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to be closer. He wants to get more fellowship. He wants to go further and he wants to go the whole way. Without him, we can do nothing.
Right.
Now, don't you notice something? When we look at these verses tonight, I want to look and preach on the benefits of being a believer. The benefits of being a believer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and thank you, God, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. Lord, while we're here tonight, God, look at these few verses in the Gospel of John. We pray, God, that you'll help us tonight and open our hearts and our heads, Lord. That you'd help us apply the truth of the Word of God. Lord, pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And God, we pray, God, you'd help me to preach tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you. God, we thank you. And we pray, God, you'll do all this to your glory, honor, and praise. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The benefits of being a believer. When you go look for a job, the first thing you should ask for you ever ask about salaries, what the benefits are being at that job. Some places, they want you to smile and think you just being here is the best benefit in the world for you. You're in such great company that we don't have to pay you to want to come to work. Oh, that's not your job, is it? Ain't where y'all work at, is it? They had to pay you to show up, didn't they? No wonder you hate the place so bad. It's so bad they got to pay you to come. But listen, when you go looking for a job, I hope that you got sense enough to go out there and say, what kind of benefits do you have? If they say we got Obamacare, go to another place. You're in the wrong place right there. Some of you, listen, everybody I've talked to about that stuff, they tell me two things. They say I applied and I make too much money and they won't give me, or I don't make enough money and they won't give it to me. That's a far cry from what I heard them say on TV they was going to do with it.
Yeah.
I think we ought to have all of us get this free medical care and let whoever has their name signed to it pay for it. How about that one? We can call it Red's health care. Jason's health care, but one of y'all pay for it. So when we look at benefits, the first benefit, if you look down at verse 7, is the fellowship of Christ himself. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The fellowship of Jesus Christ is the number one benefit of a born-again believer. For whatever reason he chose when we got saved, he said that he would be with us unto the end of the world. He said that he had walked with us all the way. We could cast our burdens on him. But he says there in that verse, he puts a condition on that. If, he said, you abide in me and my words abide in you. There's got to be some time we look at the word of God and say, you know, I can't memorize this whole book. I'm sure there are others that have. They could probably quote the whole thing. There's probably a mind or two still left in this world that could do something like that. But for the rest of us, we want his words to abide in us, and we may not be able to memorize a lot of things, but let me take you to a place that's special in your life. Who won the Super Bowl last year? Lord God, with all these men here, I thought we'd make an easy question by asking the football thing.
Packers.
And then that one woman has to always say Green Bay. But listen.
The Bears.
Do you know why people don't answer that question? Why other people don't? It means something to them or it don't. See, Packers fans are so blind, they think Green Bay won it every year. It's just sad, isn't it? Did I hear Bears fans too? Oh, I heard that. But what I do see is this out of people. We know what's important to us.
Right.
For years, I never got into this, but people would keep up with baseball statistics and talk about them. Such and such has a such and such ERA and a hit and this, that, and other. I never did understand all of it because I was a baseball fan. That didn't matter to me.
Right.
But I knew how many touchdowns Troy Aikman threw that season. I knew that Carolina got Clemson 5 straight years in a row. But whatever's important to you, you'll memorize. When I was in the 9th grade, Coach Smoke in American Civics class brought us into class one day. So I want you to fill out this paper. We're going to get a Social Security card. And we all filled out papers, and about 3 or 4 weeks, we all had Social Security cards. And he didn't tell us that that was the mark of the beast and now we were numbered for life, because that come out on TV a few weeks later and I thought, what's he got us into? Y'all heard this before, right? People saying stuff like that. I heard that Ronald Reagan was Antichrist when I was a kid because his name is Ronald, six letters, Wilson, six letters, Reagan, six letters, the whole nine yards. I've heard all that stuff all my life. And yet, they're wrong still. And just for you, for some help tonight, I'll mention this again Sunday, so you won't be too worried about this. Y'all ready? The world will not end on Monday when that eclipse comes through. Buy my book on why it won't end. It's the King James Bible. That's my book on why the world will not end this coming Monday.
Right.
Oh, you already got one? Good. You don't have to go buy nothing.
Amen.
But I want to point out to you that when folks know something that's important to them, like that Social Security card, I don't even know if you even know where your card is. Your original Social Security card, you got it. How many got their original? Well, that's a shock. Well, for the other three of us that don't, you could wake us up out of a dead sleep and say, what's your number? And that thing would come right out. Blah, 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 blah. There it is right there. I can give mine out, you see, because people will do stuff with it. It's a criminal. But I do know that benefit of having that number can get me any job that I apply for if they'll have me. Now, I may not know how to do the job, but I'm always good at saying it's not my department. I'm doing that like anybody else in retail right now. I don't normally work in this department. It's not my department. And I stand there all day. But the benefit of that thing identifies me as being a citizen of this country. And a taxpayer and all that other stuff. And I look at that verse right there, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I got that thing memorized. Listen, don't do this, but if you get pulled over and don't have your license, if you know your number, they can look you up. Of course, now you're still going to get fined for not possessing said driver's license. But if they ask me, so what's your driver's license number? I'll pop that thing right back at them. I don't know why I memorized that number. I guess when I got it and I was 15, I was obsessed with having a driver's license. Don't know, but I know that number. I know when you got your cell phone number, let me back up, hold up. When you got your house phone number, you memorized that thing. Now, your cell number, you probably have no idea. It's Siri, call me and it'll call you or something, but you know, something like that. But I have understood from the Word of God that if some words abide in you, Jesus has something for you, and that thing's fellowship. And listen, when you go to looking at the fellowship he gives there, he said, if my words abide in you, he said, here's the fellowship part. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done.
Right.
And it says, in particular, unto you. So if we look at the fellowship of Christ, and we look at that thing practically, and we see that thing as the benefit it is, you say, I'm not good at memorizing things. I don't think I could remember the whole 119th Psalm. You fall in love with that book, Doc. There's no telling what all you might get out of it.
Right.
Because when it comes to dealing with a supernatural book, you got a supernatural God living inside your body in a supernatural way, and he can help teach you the things of God and grow you in the Lord where you can start. Now, I got a piece of advice for you tonight. There's two verses that you can start on memorizing tonight. One of them is John 11, I believe it's verse 28. Is that right? Jesus wept. Two words. So what is that? Two more than you knew yesterday. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Both of those things right there are short verses, but they pack a powerful message. Raymond Whitfield was a homiletics teacher at Fruitland Baptist Bible Institute up there in Hendersonville, North Carolina. He said, I got 11 messages on Jesus wept. And they're all different, but about the same thing. There's a lot God can do with two words if both words are His.
Yeah.
And you look at that verse, pray without ceasing. Do you ever practice that? Do you stay in a constant communication with the Lord when nobody else is around and when they are around? So that's kind of difficult. I didn't say it was easy. I said, do you do it? But listen to this. I want to help you tonight. You do not have to be knelt down and with your eyes closed to pray.
Right.
You can be driving down the road and pray. Have your personal prayer time where you get in the prayer closet just like the Lord instructed. But when you come out of the prayer closet, pray without ceasing. If my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I'd like to have this book in here just in case they ever got mine and they burn it up. I'd have some of it here.
Amen.
Why would I want it here? Because if I hide it in my heart, according to Psalm 119, I'll get closer to the Lord.
Right.
And that's what I'm after. I've seen people that can quote chapters and books of the Bible, and I love that. And I love to hear people preach that can do that. The Haley's Bible Handbook that you can buy, Haley's went on to be with the Lord now, but he got his notoriety because of the fact people wouldn't have him in to preach, they'd have him in to quote a book of the Bible in one sitting without looking at it. So how you do that? Jesus wept, pray without ceasing. You take it in a little bit at a time.
Right.
There's a restaurant over in Greenville. They tell me they serve all kinds of animals over there. Y'all heard about this? You have deer meat, alligator meat, buffalo, all that stuff. You ever ate a buffalo? I don't know if you ever ate one or not, but you eat it the same way you do an elephant, one bite at a time. You can eat the whole thing. Listen, when they bring a big steak out, do you say, oh, well, take half that back there. Perish the thought, there's no way I can eat. No, you sit there one bite at a time and get that thing. And if you can't get him all in one set, you'll say, give me a box, I'm going to get the rest of them at the house.
Right.
Are you listening to me now? I look at that thing about taking in the Word of God and answered prayers going together. Thank God he said, listen, you want answered prayer? Here it is. If condition. If what? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. He didn't say he had to quote the whole Bible. You don't have to do it to anybody else but Jesus. You could sit there and memorize verses of the Bible, get along with him, and say, Lord, I want to tell you something. I want to repeat something to you, Lord, that I've learned. It's dear to me. Listen, just you and him.
Yeah.
He didn't say, quote it in front of the brethren, and I'll answer your prayer. He said, what? If my words, what? They got to get there some way.
Right.
Now, when you get them there and you got the fellowship of Christ there, it's so important to know that if we cling on to the promises of the Bible, where it says something like that, there may come a time when you need a prayer answered. You can say, Lord, I need something. I want to reflect back on the fact you said this. Lord, I've put this thing in my heart because I want a fellowship with you, and I want to see the fellowship of answered prayers. I want to see the fellowship of people getting saved. I want to see the fellowship of your work going on. I want to see the fellowship of your blessings in Jesus Christ. He'll do every bit of it. I wouldn't dare tell you tonight that God will give you a brand new car and a big old house on the hill by Lake Wiley and all them other things that you could possibly get. But I will tell you this, he'll meet your every need.
Amen.
And you'll know exactly where it comes from. You may know the direction or the hand it's going to come from, but you'll know exactly where it comes from. It's going to come from him.
Right.
Why? Because you've been fellowshipping with him.
Amen.
Listen, as we look at verse 15 down there, look down at verse 15. Look at what your Bible says there. He says there in verse 15, he said, henceforth I call you not servants. For a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He said, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. If we cross-reference that verse with King David in the Old Testament, before he ever took the throne, he had a friend over there. His name was Jonathan. He was the king's son. And I read the other day where him and Jonathan were... David was on the run from Saul, and, you know, they got to singing songs about David. They said, boy, Saul's killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000. Be careful when all that praise comes your way, because there'll be somebody who won't like it.
Right.
And if it's somebody with the power of a Saul, he's going to come after you with a head. Want your head let lobbed off and give back to him.
Right.
He wanted David dead. He didn't care what David killed.
Right.
The people had turned their hearts toward David. He didn't like it.
Right.
Listen, beware when all men speak well of thee. You'll find there's a green monster other than the Hulk out there that'll jump in there and try to tear you apart.
Right.
And you get in there and find this out. I see that Jonathan David's out there, and David had to find out where Saul was going, where he would be in the same place, or he would wind up dead. How'd he find out? Well, the king's right-hand man didn't tell him.
Right.
He's loyal to the king. The king's wife didn't tell him. He's loyal to the king, or she's loyal to the king. the king's royal cabinet of advisors, they didn't tell David.
Right.
But his son did.
Right.
His son told him. Why? Because they were friends. You may be on the run from God, but if God's your father, guess what? Jesus has made friendship with you.
Right.
You know what that thing is? That's a benefit of a born-again believer.
Yeah.
When we are made friends with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's on His terms, and He's the one that said, I have called you.
Right.
I have called you. And He says that thing there. He said, the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. The servant only knows the command to keep. He knows the letter of it, but not the spirit of what's being said. But a friend knows the spirit and the letter of what's being said. He points out in that verse, he said, but I've called you friends. For all things I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. You'll find out with a friendship with Jesus Christ, you'll find out right off the bat that you'll start discovering things from the Word of God. As you study the Bible, as you get into the Word of God, as you begin to read the Word of God, you'll start to see some things that He don't give everybody.
Right.
I noticed something. I read in the Bible one time, and I was looking at this thing that Moses stood before a burning bush. I'd heard that since I was a kid, but one day I was reading it, I picked up on something. I'd never caught this before. Bush never burned up.
Right.
Now you tell me, everything you set on fire, it goes away, don't it? Fire has a destructive power. And God give an example right there in that burning bush of something you need to understand. When they say I'm on fire from God, on fire of God, or I'm on fire for God, don't worry, He won't burn you up.
Right.
But He'll brighten your day up.
Amen.
I notice when you think about that burning bush, that thing had the presence and power of God on it. And listen, when Moses saw that thing, he didn't get out tambourines and say, let's fire up the band, boys. No, he hid in fear. Why? Because God was there.
Right.
Sometimes when you get in the presence of God like that, all you want, you're afraid to death. You're scared. Why? Because that's God.
Right.
But other times you get around Him like these disciples got around Him. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. And I've made known unto you. What's He made known unto you? It's simply this. He said, the things I've heard of my Father. Do you know Christ preached on a lot of things to them, and a lot of things that are not recorded in Scripture? John chapter 20, he said, if the books were written, it said that there would be a volume that could hold all the things He done while He's here on this earth. But I do know this, the ones that He gave us right here, if I ever get to where I think I've arrived, I can just go back and memorize the whole Bible, and I'll have plenty right there, won't I?
Right.
If I ever get to where I memorize all them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back and memorize the ones I forgot because my head leaks. How about yours?
Yeah.
I want to get back and stay in fellowship with Him and be His friend, and I want to find out what the Father's made known unto Him. So how did you know the world wasn't coming to an end? Because Jesus said so.
Right.
No man knoweth the day nor the hour.
Yep.
That's what Jesus said.
Right.
Do you not think the world's going to blow up? No. Let me pray about that. No.
Yeah. Amen.
The Death Star ain't coming.
Hey,
that's no moon. It ain't coming. Right. Planet X ain't going to appear out of nowhere.
Right.
And I owe Brandon a public apology because I thought he was pulling my leg. I thought he was just looking at a blank phone telling me all this and making it up as he went. But somebody actually believes the stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
Isn't that scary? But I look at all that and I say this. He's made known unto me it ain't going to happen. We had a Y2K service. Remember that?
Yeah.
The world was going to end that night too. When I was getting a shower that day, they said that CNN was showing cameras live in Australia as it turned midnight. They said, well, nothing's cut off over here. Long before the midnight hour ever got here, it got to Europe. They had cameras over there just in case something happened. And you know what happened at 12 o'clock? Not a thing. We were gathered around this altar praying, and nobody realized it. But when you close your eyes, you're afraid you're going to wake up in the darkness. But the ball dropped in New York City, and the mule kept on plowing.
Right.
Why? Because our Lord chose to be friends with us and said, no man knows the day nor the hour.
Yep.
See, when you cling to these promises and you know your Lord is not only your Savior, He's God manifest in the flesh, but He's such a friend to you, He'll let you know things. Your friends will be close with you and tell you things they won't tell other folks. He said, the things I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Now, as we look at that thing, we see the benefit of His fellowship and His fellowship in prayer there. We see His friendship where He lets us know things that will comfort us. But if you look down at verse 16 there, He says, after He says that about what I've made known unto you, He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. When we look at the benefit of the fruit of Christ that He talks about right there, I'm constantly aware of this. The reason certain words are in the Bible, we don't need to mess with them, because a word like fruit right there, if you'll hold your place here and look over Galatians chapter 5. Say, preacher, we know this. Ah, be quiet. There might be somebody that don't know it. We've not all arrived like you. Amen and amen. Galatians chapter 5. He says over in Galatians chapter 5, he points out his fruit over here. Verse 22. He tells us what the works of the flesh are, and he turns around to verse 22 and says, but the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit. That ye should go and bring forth fruit. Same thing. And he says here, he says, watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, is love. See that one? Joy. See, listen, joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Peace. You know where that peace is at? Peace with God, peace of God. And he says that word long-suffering. You know what that is? That is definitely an attribute of God Almighty. Amen. So how you figure? I know what He put up with me. And if you will be honest, what He puts up with us right now.
Right.
That is a characteristic of God that He'll produce through you that you can't produce on your own. And see, all these are things the Lord has to do. You just don't naturally have love, joy, peace, long suffering. He says gentleness over there. Gentleness. I noticed that when you handle things with gentleness and you let God handle them through you gentle, there's results that happen to that thing. It's God's results, not ours.
Right.
He points out their goodness. You got any goodness tonight? If you do, if you got an ounce of it, it come from God. See that word faith right there? That is an attribute that is not common with people. Especially church folk. So we're going to do something that's going to take us 6 years to do it. We got to raise $2 million to do it and get it done to reach the entire world with the gospel. I promise you 9 out of 10 people say, we can't do that. Well, God didn't ask you to do it. He said He's going to do it. Do you believe He can do it?
Amen.
See, that's the difference. So where does that come? How do you believe like that? You don't. He does.
Right.
And he points out there about faith. After faith there, he says this. He says meekness. You see that word right there? Moses is our example of meekness over there. He is the meekest man on earth, it says. Not weakness, meekness.
Right.
But then he says there, temperance. Temperance. Temperance in a dictionary would be defined as self-control. But in the context of this verse, there's no self in it. That's spirit control. The reason being, God's Spirit can control you better than you can control you. Remember that thing we read about, without me you can do nothing? Here's what He can do with you.
Right.
And see, all these things are fruit that He's going to produce. And this is based on the fruit of Christ. And as we look at all these things right here that He names out here, that the love, joy, peace, long suffering, meekness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such, He says there is no law. Can I point out to you that every one of them things is about Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
They're all about Him.
Yeah.
And as we look at Him in eternity past before this world began, we see all 9 things in Him. As we look at Him as the creator of this universe, the sustainer of this universe, the only reason the planet Earth don't just float off into make a big dust cloud and water ball in this world, in this universe, is the fact He's got long suffering towards us,
right,
not willing any should perish, but all come to repentance. When we look at him and we see him in a manger in Bethlehem, we see all nine attributes of the Spirit of God. Is there actually the Spirit that they're on Jesus Christ himself? Well, you talking about, listen, you talking about meekness. Where was you born at? See, nowadays they have birthing centers. They used to be a hospital. Now they got a whole section called a birthing center. I thought that was a politically correct way to say hospital. But I said, no, that's just part of the hospital now. Or part of the medical center. They ain't a hospital no more. We got a new word for everything now. But if you go in that birthing center, when we had Justin, and this is just, listen, this is 25 years ago. I'm sure they've improved it since some of y'all have had y'all's babies. But I know when you go in there, they got a special bed made up for the pregnant mother in there. They got special monitors already in the room for there, ready to plug in, turn on, turn up, turn down, and all this other stuff. They got everything in that building, in that one little room, that when that doctor comes in there, he'll say, hand me this, and it's already there. And then they have them classes they put you through before you ever get there. They want you to know what's going on. Don't miss none of them classes, Daddy. I missed that last one. We had the evil twin get delivered after the first one. I didn't know that was coming. I thought, oh my God, call the exorcist. I didn't know what was going on. Now when the next two kids come, I was ready then. It took a painful first time experience seeing that to think, oh no. As you go through something like that, listen, if you think about Christ being born in this world, he wasn't born in a birthing center. She did not have an epidural. There was no nurses there to help. Nobody to boil water and get the towels ready.
Right.
When you got ready to bring your child home, you know what you did? You had a reveal party. You let out pink balloons or blue balloons. Understand what they do now. And by the way, God made you either a pink one or a blue one. Amen and amen.
Amen.
That gender, what do they call it? Gender reassignment, gender choice. Let me tell you how stupid that is. I want to help you out now. If one of the twos and two plus two thinks it's a three, then it makes that whole equation wrong just by what it thinks. But it's still a two, no matter if it thinks it's a three. Or listen to me, two plus two is what? But if one of them thinks it's a three, then that'd make it a five, wouldn't it? See, that's stupid, isn't it? That's real dumb to think that. When people come up saying that stuff like that, we don't need to give them civil rights. We need to help them mentally. They have problems.
Amen.
That's a mental issue. I heard a black man say this. He said for a sodomite to come up and say that he is in a minority, he's lying to himself because he wasn't born that way.
Right.
He'll never know what it feels like to go to the back of the restaurant and have to go eat like that or being on a have your own water fountain. He said, you'll never know that. I said, amen, preach, tell them. That's a perversion. But when we look at this thing practically and we see that where he was born at, when you had your gender reveal party, somebody brought a present, and you know what it was? You got a car seat. And somebody got you a crib. And it took you 2.5 good hours of reading instructions and battling with parts that wasn't even there to finally get that thing together. And when you got it together, it still was wobbly. Had a nice little mattress in there. Grandma brought sheets over and you swaddled the baby up in them. And you put the baby in there. And it was so cute. Jesus laid in the trough. Love, joy, peace. What was that word down here? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. On the ride back home from Bethlehem after the taxation was over, can you imagine that bumpy ride on that donkey all the way back down there? No car seat. Love, joy. So why do you keep saying love? Because he did that for you.
Right.
That's his fruit. After you get saved, he wants to do this not to you, but through you to somebody else.
Right.
And I look at that thing, and he said that your fruit should remain. I learned a very valuable lesson about fruit one time. If there's a brown spot on an apple, don't bite that part. It's rotten. And it generally rotten straight through the thing. If an orange starts to look like it's getting smaller, don't eat that one. Okay? If a banana has brown stains on it, peel it to make sure. But once they turn totally brown, there might be something little that you don't want in that thing. But if you go to that thing while it's in its ripest condition, you have good fruit. But Jesus said, your fruit shall remain. He said, these things I'm going to do here, that your fruit should remain, I'm going to do them things, and they're never going to sour on you. They're never going to dry up. They're never going to get old. They're never going to wither away. They're always going to be there. Because these fruits come from eternity, and eternity can't be turned off. Thank God. I know you and I can get out of the way with fellowship and friendship, and we can think all that, but our fruit's His fruit, and it'll remain what He does.
Right.
Now, if you do these things out of the flesh, I got a news announcement for you. They will not last that way. That weren't where the promise was. He said that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever shall ask of the Father, He said, in my name He may give it you. You ever know some Christians pray, they say in Jesus' name? There's a reason why we pray like that. That's what He said do.
Right.
So why are you wanting to do that? It's because we have fellowship with Him. And we have His friendship, but we want to see His fruit too. No joy greater than this in the world that you'll have is to see fruit that God uses through your life to touch somebody else, to touch somebody else, to touch somebody else. And that God will take care of that whole thing right there. And that if you get out of the way with God somewhere, your fruit's going to remain. And God's got a way of marching that thing right back around your ear so you can see it again.
Amen.
I don't care how far you try to go away from God. God goes after you and gets you. He said, I'll leave that 99 and go get that one. He said, listen. He said, I'll deal with my people. And because He does, that fruit remains out there. And the fruit of Christ that we see in the good days will be something that will help us sustain in the bad days. Do you know when things are going bad, when you got your prayer list, if you make your Thanksgiving list of what God's already done, all of a sudden they've got brighter. You realize, hey, God done it then. He'll do it again. God answered a prayer over here when I didn't think He could. He might answer one today for you too. I remember when I started doing that thing with that prayer list and putting that thing together, I kept thinking, so one day this is going to come in a big advantage to me because eventually I'm going to hit the bottom. And I did. And again. And again. And again. And every time I got there, I recognized the bottom. I don't like it. It's hard living there, ain't it? But if you're on the bottom right there and you got them things where you listed on such and such date, God answered this prayer, God answered this prayer, all of a sudden you realize you're not on the bottom, you're just kneeling down. But you know who else you'll find at the bottom? When they threw Daniel in the lion's den, he didn't just find lions down there. There's a Lord down there that kept the lion's mouth shut.
Right.
He had three of them Hebrew brethren over there. They threw them down into the furnace. You know what they found down there? Four men walking loose in the fire. This is the downside of it. When Jonah got thrown in the well, the water, he went down. He went down into the thing. He kept going down to finally the well took him and went on down. But you know what he found down there? There's a God that loved him.
Right.
There's fruit down there. Because once you hit bottom, guess what? There's nowhere to go but up.
Right.
And once you start going up, He wants to take you on up. He wants to get fruit through you. Now, when people come up with these crazy ideas of, if you will sow your seed to this ministry, you'll get such as a fruit. Turn the television off. If you ever see a man on TV crying saying, if we don't get money to get off, stay on the air, we're not going to stay on air. Lord, please let him go off the air. If a man has more swimming pools in his backyard and you got bathtub in your house, do not send him money.
Right.
It's con. How many of y'all donated to the Rockefeller Foundation this week? None? Oh, that's right. They got all that money. Right? But I see this thing about fruit over here, that what comes there, what you donate there, what you let God do through you, He just keeps on doing that thing. It's eternal fruit. It had no beginning and no end. It comes through Jesus Christ. It's the fruit of Christ. And He points out, I save this for last because of this. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you.
Amen.
Now, people say, well, I don't know how God does such. Back up. That verse right there is the most difficult verse in the Bible to me. I mean, out of all the things, that one right there. Why in the world? God stopped what He is doing one day running this universe and said, let's save him. 7.2 billion people. He said, well, not that one. The day you got saved. You were sorry, low down, lost, rotten, filthy mouth, and God knows what else you was. And I hope I never find out. He moved 7.2 billion people aside and said, that one. The people that cussed him, denied him, and blasphemed his name, he moved all them 7.2 billion out of the way and said, that one, I'll take that one. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Words cannot describe how much love that is. But somehow and some way, when you're the fruit of Christ, he'll go past three good ones to get to you. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Has God picked you to do something? You know what God wants to do? Bring the fruit of Christ, the friendship of Christ, and the very fruit of Christ through your life so he can reach others that nobody wants. See, when we look at verses in the Bible and says, without me you can do nothing, then we look on down and says, you have not chosen me. Let me give you a term for that thing. You a zero with the rim knocked out, nothing. But yet he's going to put Christ in you and do some things out of you that you could not do by yourself. I'll grant you this. You can fake some of this stuff, but you can't consistently fake it. And I know by reading scripture, by looking at what God's had to say about stuff, and by looking at this thing, if I was going to look for benefits, boy, I'd want to line up with this chapter right here and just get benefited to death. Because he's got everything there that we'll ever need. As far as friendship, fellowship, and fruit, I'll take Jesus and let everything else go.
Amen.
One day you and I are going to attend one another's funerals. One day we will. Outside of the rapture of the church happening, you'll attend mine or I'll attend yours. And at that funeral, whatever fruit we had through life will be sitting out there somewhere. Whatever God used you for will be sitting in that building. It may be a person that said, hey, they helped me one time. It may be somebody you prayed for to get saved and God saved them. It might be a lot of things, but it'll be something. Don't let your life go to waste for the devil. Do something for Jesus and let him have his way with you. And live off the benefits of being a born-again believer. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.